Saints, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Praise God. We are so blessed to have Mom Noms in the house. Mom Noms, can you please stand up? Come on, let's give it up for Mom Noms. She's been a great blessing to my wife and I. Really helped us out when we were in Cape Town, even when we started off getting married. She's been a mother figure and a great blessing to us. We are so blessed. Thank you so much, really, for being here. Can we appreciate it one more time? Bangwele, today we'll be speaking under the thematic expression. Uthixo undihlekisile. That's it. The Lord has made me laugh. Come on. Can we say Uthixo undihlekisile? Can we clap hands for you if you said Uthixo? Uthixo. Uthixo. I can't even say, like, for us in Tsonga, X is for she, right? So, yeah, but it's all good. So there was this one man who was praying. Wow, this stage is powerful, man. You know what I mean? It's like you are walking in power for real. Yeah. Let me get back up here. There was one man who was praying, and he said, Lord, ungavumi abantu bathi ngushikwembu wena. Bathi ngumodiwe ngoba nguthixo. You know what I mean? So today we are focusing on uthixo. Amen. Our anchor text will be found in the book of Genesis, so that you know that I'm not coming up with these things for the fun of it. Amen. Who's going to be our Xhosa reader this morning? Any Xhosa people? Any breadwinners? Zippo, is that going to be you? Jesus. Come on. We're reading from Genesis chapter 21, verse 6. Genesis 21, verse 6. Be on that Tembi tip, amen. Are you winning?
One, two. Wathi uSara undihlekisile uthi bonke abakuvayo oku bayakuhleka nam.
Sicela uthandaze ngesiXhosa.
Father, we thank you for
We want the anointing.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Siyabulela thixo wethu ngezwi lakho. Simamele thixo wethu namandla onke ethetha nathi. Inhliziyo zethu zivulekile. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. What a blessing. Genesis 21. I'm going to read from verse 6 again. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, yet I have borne him a son in his old age. I have borne him a son in his old age. Now, I want us to do some work on Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. We'll start reading from verse 18. This one we'll read in Tsonga. Amen. No, I'm kidding. Romans 4. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. The paradox of this miracle, ladies and gentlemen. A man who could not have a son became the father of many nations. At times, what we lack is an indication of what God has called us for. You would think that the fact that you are struggling to have a son, it would imply that you are not called to be the father of many nations. Whereas to the contrary, the fact that you are struggling to have a son, it is an indication that you are called to be a father of many nations. Called to be a father of many nations. And this is possibly a word for someone who is struggling in a particular area. But I just want to say to you, it's not to say that God has not necessarily called you into that area. Yeah. Abraham became the father of many nations. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed. And so became the father of many nations. But when there is a call for us to believe in hope against all hope, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Now, it's quite interesting. Mom Shwabi touched on the fact that it must have been in the first service or even now, where she says initially he was called Abram. And then God gives him a name change. You see, like William Nicol to Winnie Madikizela, that type of vibe. He was first called Abram. And he transitioned from being Abram to being Abraham, which means father of many nations. Now, I can imagine that it was somewhat of a trigger, or maybe it was a bit of a joke for many people, that how can someone who doesn't have a son become the father of many nations? He's married to what scripture would refer to as a barren woman, but yet God has called him with a different name, and he's saying to him, you are Abraham. And one of the things I've seen with God is that he changes your name before he changes your destiny. But another aspect is this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, Abraham needed to hear that he was a father of many nations before he became the father of many nations. So as he kept on hearing, something on the inside of him was being activated that actually you might not have a son, but you have nations on the inside of you. So the Bible says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Let's look at verse 19. Without weakening in his faith, he faced that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and listen to this, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. He had to face that his body was as good as dead. In other words, another word would say he had to reckon. He had to take into account of. But faith does not run away from facts. It faces the facts. And then it looks away from the facts. In other words, it does not deny the facts. But it's not fixated on facts. It takes into account, but it doesn't take into account. Yeah. It reckons, but it doesn't reckon. So in other words, you are facing the fact that your body is as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. Just about, not too much, you know. It's as if he had missed it by a few years. No. Imagine, even when you're around there, by 60, it's quite hectic. But this man had to face the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. And that Sarah's womb was also dead. But this man became the father of many nations. But in him becoming a father of many nations, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Sarah, the fact that your womb is dead does not cancel out the promises of God. The promises of God are yes and amen. Amen. Let's go to verse 20. Listen to this. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. But when he had to be, and it's quite interesting that the Bible does not even say he was strengthened in his body. It says he was strengthened in his faith. Because when the faith is strengthened, it will suspend whatever effect that has had on the body. Wow. He was not strengthened in the body here. The Bible says he was strengthened in his faith. And he gave glory to God. He didn't give glory to God for the son. He gave glory to God for the faith being strengthened. Now, let me say that again. That him giving glory to God was not for the son. It was in the fact that his faith was strengthened, because when your faith is strengthened, it means now you have the infrastructure to be able to accommodate the miracle. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in faith and gave glory to God. One of the love languages of faith is praise. When faith is really present, the tone is that of praise. The expression is that of praise. You can even confuse people. They'll think maybe Imali Singenil. Like, wow, man, did they get back to you yet? No. No, I was strengthened in my faith. And as a result of that, I'm now giving. So you're saying it has not come in yet. Are you saying they have not called you back? Yes, they have not called me back. But my faith has been strengthened. And as a result of that, I'm going to give God glory.
Amen. That's good.
Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. Bangwale, faith is the most important currency in the kingdom. Look, the most important training in the life of a disciple is that around the issue of faith. Bangwale, do you know that Jesus never commended anyone on their dress code with Antoine, you see this dueto, like, you eat cotton, you are a cotton eater. No, Jesus never did that. Jesus was not on some, you cook so nicely. Like, wow, what a flat stomach. Jesus was not there. what a nice frontal. Jesus, he said nothing about my frontal, but where we hear him commending someone, he says, how great is your faith? He could compliment people on where they live. He could compliment people on the way that they dress. He could compliment people on the way that they smell. He never said anything. The one thing that Jesus was fixated on, and for lack of a better word, what he obsessed on, was faith, to the extent that the writer of Hebrews says, it is impossible to please God without faith. You can sing and not please him. You can attend church early and not please him. You can do a lot of things and not please him, but when you get into the faith realm, remember the last message I preached on, where we spoke about pick up your mat and walk? The guys were removing the roof, and the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. Like that was not faith. But according to Jesus, it was faith. Because his whole being is fixated, it's obsessed with people believing him and taking him at his word. Now, here's a thought. The number one reason why we need to focus on the message of faith It's so that we can please God. Number two is because faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Another vision speaks about the fact that faith is a title deed. Okay. You don't prove your ownership of a house by pointing to it. You prove ownership of a house by adducing your title deed. So the proof of the miracle is not the miracle. It's the faith. It's the title deed. Someone can be staying in your house, but they don't have ownership over it. Yeah, they're staying there. They're posting pictures. Their content is flowing. But it's not theirs. When, because you have the title deed, you don't have to rush. You don't have to run. It's yours. It's secure. Now, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. And the evidence of things not seen. But when there is evidence of things not seen, it's called faith. It's called faith. It's called faith. Now, I want to say this. Always begin your prayer with an amen. What do I mean? What do I mean when I say begin with an amen? Listen to this. The Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope for. Now, one man defined the hope element as a goal setter. It's a goal setter. It's a goal setter. In other words, if you don't have hope, faith has nothing to give substance to. Right? Now, what should frame our hope? It's the menu. It's the word. You know, I love going to a restaurant where they sell coffee alone. Like, I don't want coffee and other things. If I'm going to go to a steak, like I want steak, I want to go to a steakhouse, right? I don't want them to sell cake as well. Like, they're good at steak and cake. It doesn't work. They must be good at one thing. You see, I want my biltong from an Afrikaner. He must even look at me and like, you just hate me, the type of thing. That biltong, man. This stamp biltong, amen. Like the last part of. What was my point again? I love biltong. But here's the point. You go to a place, you know what they have to offer. Now, primarily, the one thing that should say to you, I can get this, would be the menu. You look at the menu and say, this is there. Right? Now, your response to the menu is faith. There's a substance element to, I hope this, but here's the thing that is so interesting. Hope is always future orientated. When you're still saying God is going to heal, you are in hope. Faith says, by his stripes we were healed. Now, Hebrews 11 says, now, faith doesn't suspend. Faith is not a procrastinator. It says, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The biggest challenge is that many of us are looking for faith results from hope. When you see it, you must have an amen. You see, here's the thing. Once you get the substance, the title deed, that's when you start praying properly. I'm not saying you don't pray for the faith, but I'm saying that much of our prayer must be research. Because I must know it's there. Did God promise it in his word? Oh, amen. Now I can pray. But if we are going to go into a thing and say, according to your will, but we don't know what the will. The will of God is ascertainable through the word. So you want to be in a space where you know what God's word has said about this, and then you say amen. So we must not just end our prayers with amen. We must begin our prayers with amen. Because in him, his promises are yes and they are amen. And amen is a person, by the way, according to the book of Revelation. Number one, we please God. We cannot please God without, which means we cannot not please God with faith. Number two, because it's our substance of things hopeful and the evidence of things not seen. Number three, because faith, according to John, in 1 John, is the victory that overcomes the world. The Bible says, he that is born of God has overcome the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Even your faith. You don't overcome it with a lot of things. You overcome it with the word, with your faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. But Noelle, we must not go into battle looking for victory. We must come into the battle with victory. So in the same way I say, begin the prayer with an amen. Begin the battle with a victory. Don't get into battles you have not won. Let me say this again. But when we fight battles that have been fought, we must be guaranteed of victory. And that's why the Bible says this ones we say more than conquerors. Yeah. Not just conquerors, more than, because they don't come into the battle for victory. They come into the battle with victory. Now, the Bible says your faith is that victory. You are looking for it at the end. But when you have faith, you have the victory. Number four, the Bible says, faith, the shield of faith, quenches the fiery darts of the enemy. The fiery darts of the enemy. So there's an offensive element to faith, but there's also a defensive element to faith. Some of the stuff that we face in our lives, the challenges that we face, they are there to question us around our belief system. Who have you believed? Whose report have you believed? Let's go to Genesis chapter 18. We have a concert, so we have to close. Amen. Don't laugh. We have a concert. Genesis chapter 18. Verse 9. I need someone who can read. Can you still have the... But not in Khoisan this time. Amen. You think I'm Khoisan. Genesis 18, NIV. If you know this song, you are wrong. Please focus on the gospel. 18, verse 9.
Verse 9. Where is Sarah, your wife? The visitors asked. She's inside the tent. Abraham replied.
Can we maybe just pause there? Not your girlfriend, your wife, amen. I'm sorry, I had to take a cheap shot at the young lions. Sorry, man. Hallelujah. Nishate, Manuel, amen. Verse 10.
Then one of them said, I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife, Sarah, will have a son.
Oh, man. Just through words. I will return to you next year. And about this time next year, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Let's take it. Let's go on, Ezzy.
Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent. Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time.
Yeah.
And Sarah was long past the age of having children. So she laughed silently to herself and said, how could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such a pleasure?
She said it herself. This was not body shaming, Bangwan. She said she was worn out. After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? Imagine. But that's the thing. God does not know the limitations of man. There are timelines. There are restrictions that people have put across us. There are things that they said they can't happen at a certain age. But God is saying, hey, I'm about to violate, I'm about to suspend whatever rules that have been imposed upon you. Next year, about this time, you are worn out. Remember what the other portion said. It says Sarah's womb was dead. So she had biological evidence. She had facts. But we have faith that faces the facts. Do you understand? We send, we don't send facts to a facts battle. We send faith to a facts battle. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? Can I say this? You are not too old for the promises of God. You are not too, come on, Mary, you are not too young. Come on, Elizabeth, you are not too old. What God is about to excuse, what God is about to do, there is no excuse for us to not partake in it. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I'm worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? Verse 13, Z.
Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby?
Imagine. Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Will I really have a child now that I'm old? Remember Romans says, Sarah's womb was dead. So the facts were fighting against the manifestation of this miracle. No, the facts were saying, Sarah, and Abraham's body was as good as dead, but Sarah's womb was dead. So she is not without cause for laughing. And know what I've been finding quite interesting? It says she laughed to herself. It's not like she was laughing out loud with other people. But God took it personal. The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? The next verse.
Is there anything too hard for the Lord?
Manuel, hey. Some of us, this is not working. Can I please have the mic? Some of us, Manuel, the facts are against us. The stats are against us. We don't have an argument to the facts that you are posing to us. But we have a scripture that says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? We don't have the facts. We don't have the facts. But we have a scripture that says, nothing shall be impossible with God. We don't have the facts. Our answer, some of you are locked up in a position where the doctors have said, it's the end of the line. The facts are saying it cannot longer happen, but you have this in your bag. Is there anything too hard? Your child will not be able to speak. We don't see your child surviving until a certain age. I've got something in my bag, doc. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I don't have research from the labs, but I've got Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, where it says, is there anything? We're not employing right now. I hear that, but I've got this. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? You don't have the funds, but I've got this in my bag. The question is this. Do you have this in your bag? That's all I got. That's all I got. I have not read some Harvard review. I came across a scripture that said, is there anything? He's the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard? Nothing shall be impossible with God. I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. But one of the reasons why it took long was because Sarah was not just carrying a son. She was carrying a nation.
My God, can I say that the king, the delay didn't come from the fact that she was looking for a son. It had to be cooked on low heat. Some of you want it quickly, but God is saying, what I'm about to prepare for you right now is cooked on low heat. You are not about to bring back to a son. You're about to give birth to a nation. I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Genesis 21. Mashatara. Genesis 21, we start reading from verse 1 as we close. Genesis 21. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. God is only obligated to do what he has promised. When we say to God, you said, we're not telling him off. We're not being disrespectful. We are just saying, we know you promise. And Psalms 89 verse 34 says, he will not violate his covenant, nor alter what his lips have uttered. And we know this for sure. It is impossible for God to lie. Can I begin to say to you that for every problem in your life, there is a promise. There is no problem without promise. In fact, the problem is there to point you and usher you to a particular promise. And as you begin to saturate yourself, immerse yourself into that promise, you will then come into this dimension where it says, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. You said, oh God, come on. You when you're facing something, begins to just say, you said, I'm not asking for what you didn't promise. You promised in your word. That is why we're saying, begin with the amen. Don't just end with the amen. Because it's there we're going to begin to point at his promises. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said to the Lord, and did for Sarah what he had promised. Let's go to verse 5. Verse 5. Abraham was 100 old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, let's stand up on our feet. God! Has brought me laughter. You know, I was thinking about it, that even when someone is pregnant at the age of 50, there would be jokes made about him. At the age of 60, there would be memes made about them. At the age of 70, there would be people making jokes about them. At the age of 80, there would be jokes made about it. But this was in the 90s. There's somebody who's in the 90s of their lives, and you've given up on the promise of God, but God is questioning you. He's saying, why are you laughing? Because there will come a time to laugh. Now is not the right time. The first laughter was a laughter of unbelief, but now it's a laughter of praise. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter. And everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. That's the message today. There is somebody who is in this place. You've been sad. You've been downcast. But I've got a message. And the message is that God is about to make you laugh. It's not going to be Dave Chappelle. It's not going to be Chris Rock. It will be the manifestation of the promises of God. Oria Baba Mahande. Come on, begin to pray. Begin to pray in this place. Lord, make me laugh. Lord, make me laugh. Lord, make me laugh. Come on, let's raise it up. Let's raise it up. Lord, make me laugh. We speak life. We speak life. We speak life. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, pray, pray, pray. Pray, pray. has made me laugh. And all those who hear will laugh with me. All those who hear what God has done, I know that there were pity parties around you, but I want to tell you, cancel them all. We're about to laugh in this place because God is about to show himself faithful. God is about to show himself that he's not a man to lie, nor a son of man to change his mind. God has brought me laughter. And everyone who hears about this, come on, begin to proclaim the promise of God over that area. You said, Lord, Oba Baba Hari, Oria Bahalaria Hadebe, Oria Bahalara Bahana. Not against facts, we are not fighting facts, but we know a higher reality of faith, which is built on the word of God. Facts are subject to change, but the truth stands firm. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So right now, whatever the enemy meant for evil, God is about to turn around for good. This is the word. In spite of what I've said, in spite of what the age is saying, in spite of what even the bank account is saying, in spite of even what the experts are saying, God is about to cause you to laugh. Oh, just raise up your hands. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we release the power of God for the manifestation of your word. Lord, you are not a man to lie, nor a son of man to change your mind. So Father, even this afternoon, we decree and we declare the blessing of God. We decree and we declare the blessing of God upon your children. People will enter into the yes and amen dimension. With every eye closed, we can bring our hands down. Let's remain standing with every eye closed. Let's not have any movement during this time. Let's not have any movement during this time. It's the most important part of the service. Never again will I make the mistake of closing service without making an altar call. I'll not forget a day where I didn't make an altar call. And someone came to me after service and said, Muruti, today was a day I was meant to give my life to the Lord. Please lead me to the Lord. And we led him. To the Lord, he gave his life to the Lord. I sense in my spirit that there's someone here as well who has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. We want to give you the greatest opportunity. The promise of God, a yes and amen, but it starts with having a relationship with Jesus. It starts with having a relationship with God through the only avenue, which is his Son. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can get to the Father except through me. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whomsoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It could be that you are here and the word has done something to your heart. Or maybe you came here with already having made a decision. You said, I want to give my life to the Lord today. If that is you, just quickly raise your hand. I want to pray with you. If there's anyone in this place, says, Pastor Martin, yeah, I'm seeing a hand at the back. Is there someone else? Is there someone else who says, Pastor Martin, I want to give my life to the Lord Jesus? If that's you, just raise your hand. Am I seeing a hand here in the front? Just right in front of us? See, in front of you? My sister at the back, please come to the front. Ushers, just help her. Please come to the front. Please come to the front. Wow, wow. Come on, let's thank God. Yeah. And face this way. Hallelujah. What a harvest, Bangwele. Can we thank God for these beautiful souls? Let's not close this time. If you are also here, you know, you need to make this important decision. You need to make this important decision. I'm going to make one more call. One more call for someone who says, I want to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's you, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Yes. That's right. That's right. Quickly rush to the front. Quickly rush to the front. Quickly rush. Let's help them just say the prayer of repentance today. Say, Jesus, today I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I'm a child of God. All things are passed away and all things have become new. Today, I'm stepping in the reality of the new creation. I receive eternal life. Thank you, Jesus, that all my sins are forgiven and that today I'm your child. Come on, can we thank God for these souls? Hallelujah. Let's just stretch out our arms. Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak the blessing of the Lord. Keep this your children. Keep them in your word. May they grow in you. May they grow in you. Grow in you, speak the infilling of your spirit. Keep them, Lord. Keep them, Lord. Keep them, God. Keep them. Keep them. Fill them up with your spirit. Ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can we clap hands for them as they just follow after Zippo, the lady right there. The gentleman at the back with a nice Joseph shirt. Please come to the